It's kind of tough to stay positive with all the things that have been happening on this planet over the last couple of years. But we're going to be back with Susan Smith-Jones. Her latest work is called Uplifted, 12 Minutes to More Joy, Faith, Peace, Kindness, and Vitality. We're going to stay positive on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie back with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D., has assisted thousands of people in becoming more aware of how their lifestyle choices affect their physical, emotional, mental, spiritual well-being for 30-plus years. Susan has taught students, staff, and faculty at UCLA on how to be healthy and fit. She's an author, motivational speaker, holistic health consultant, and was selected as one of the 10 Healthy American Fitness Leaders by the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports. A very gifted teacher, Susan brings together modern research and ageless wisdom in all of her work. Susan, welcome back. How are you?
Hi, George. Wonderful to be with you. Healthy, happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And let me ask you a question about New Year's. Why does it seem that before the clock strikes midnight into 23, people say, I'm glad this year is over. Oh, my God. Almost everybody says that. And then they look forward to 23, and then in 23, they may say the same thing.
I know. I think often that's because people are focusing on the negative aspects of the last year rather than focusing on what was good, what was positive. How did you make a positive difference in other people's lives? And then people regret things they did in the past. They forget that you need to live more in the present moment. And that's why today's topic is so good, to end the year on a positive note and begin the next year on the most positive note possible. And it's within our ability to create a more positive life. So we'll go through all the ways to do that.
Is it difficult or easy to stay positive, Susan?
If you are a regular negative thinker, it can be difficult. Like anything you want to be good at, it takes practice. There are many studies that show how being more positive can not only light up your brain and help you release neurotransmitters that make you feel good, but it can also lengthen your life and change your immunity and give you more energy and keep you healthy and take away aches and pains. So, there are simple things that we can all choose to do every day to be more positive.
Does it seem like time is ticking too quickly for us?
Well, I would say so. You know, there's...
Slow it down.
Yeah, exactly. There's a disturbing truth. I'll be negative for just one moment.
Not you.
Yeah, I know. Just for one moment, though. But this will resonate with almost everyone, and that is that stress is a major problem in modern life. Computers have sped up our lives. We want to do everything. We want to do it all at once. We talk on the telephone and text while we drive. We watch TV while we read. We conduct business while listening to the radio. And as my grandmother and mom taught me, I see this as a sickness of epidemic proportions, and I call it a busyness or a hurry sickness. And this type of lifestyle will drain our hearts of compassion, according to many studies. And you and I will talk about a few of them in a moment. But if you understand the speed of life, you can slow it down by enjoying it more and making a conscious choice of being more compassionate. And this involves being a more kind and grateful person. Henry David Thoreau, one of my favorites, once wrote, "Life is frittered away by detail. Simplify, simplify."
Well, that it works that way, too. Does it seem to you that people seem to be more hostile right now?
You know what? I think everyone would agree to that. The people are much less compassionate. They're hostile, and it's not our imaginations. I think, just look at all the news broadcasts from the halls of Congress to the main streets of small-town America, and the big cities everywhere, it seems like no one is capable of civilly listening to others whose viewpoints are different. And this divisiveness is most prevalent these days. If you turn on any TV news broadcast and you see what's happening, and I think a lot of this has to do with people are these days burning the candle at both ends. They're in maybe severe sleep debt. They have little time to call their own. They're often sick and depressed. They're living in this spin cycle lifestyle. And all of this adds up to aggressive behavior and being a less compassionate person.
Interesting take on that. Susan, how'd you get involved in this kind of study?
Well, you might remember, you know, all the times we've been together. I grew up with the most wonderful grandmother and mom, family, but especially my mom and grandmother. I was really sick as a young girl and a teenager because I ate everything that was terrible for the body. I wasn't healthy then. And my grandmother, who was totally into healthy living, living from the earth, eating healthy foods, using herbs, spices, lifestyle choices to heal the body. She took me under her wings. I lived with her a few months. She helped take my mood from negative to positive. And then right at that time as a teenager, my dad died unexpectedly. In a year, I gained 50 pounds. I was bullied at school. I didn't want to live. It's all, the whole story's an uplifted. But she taught me in a few months, and then over the many years before she passed away, how to live a healthy life and the importance of being positive and kind to other people and kind to yourself. Really, in a world where you can be anything, choose to be kind. And as a result of her wisdom and guidance, you know, I started my own private practice. I help people all over the world. I've written, over 30 books, but my latest two are my most favorite. And to this day, I've never had to take any medication because I know how to keep the immune system healthy. You know, what foods to eat and not eat, you know, the right kind of exercise, the sleep, all the lifestyle choices to keep my immune system functioning optimally. And, you know, I'm so grateful to my mom and grandmother, and they always taught me to watch what I say, keep track of what I'm thinking. Like my grandmother Fritzie used to say to me, honey, keep your words loving, true, kind, and sweet in case you have to eat them. You know, people don't realize that you want to speak words that are positive and affirm always what you want to create in life because your words are messengers for power, and you choose what kind of power they carry. You can change the whole course of your life with the words that you think, you speak, you write. But you've got to put a guard up at that door of your mind and catch yourself when you're negative. And Uplifted, one of the chapters is Think and Write in a Positive Light. And I give you 260 of my most favorite positive words to help you be more constructive with how you think. Because Fritzie used to say to me, George, your attitude is your mind's paintbrush. It can color anything. It absolutely can. So it begins with what you think. As within, so without.
Do you think that people like to be around positive people?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, they can feel this energy coming from them.
Yeah, sure. You know, people who are negative drain your energy. I know I like to be around people that make me laugh, that have a great sense of humor, that maybe don't take themselves and life quite so seriously. It just feels good. People that are positive and people that show gratitude. It's a joy to be around these people. And I always leave after being in their presence feeling a lot better about life.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. What does gratitude mean to you?
Well, as my mom always used to say to me, gratitude is a low-effort, high-reward activity. You know, gratitude is about being thankful, about showing appreciation. Maybe we've come through a challenging time and we've succeeded. Maybe we've just got some abundance, or we achieve a goal like losing weight, we finish a 10K race. It feels good, and we usually feel more compassionate and kind toward ourselves and others. When you feel good, when you feel that gratitude and thankfulness, it fuels pleasant, upbeat thoughts, and that parlays into a positive feedback loop that spirals towards happiness. So when you feel grateful for something each day, I know it changes the vibrational rate in your body, and it makes you more of a magnet for miracles. But like I just said a moment ago, when you are grateful for something, whatever it is, it could be very small, it changes your brain's neural activity. Using MRI technology, researchers have discovered that gratitude lights up the brain's reward and pleasure pathways. And then I often say to people, and I wrote about this in the book, that gratitude is like this magnetic force, and it draws to each one of us goodness. It's like a dynamic spiritual energy that allows you to exert a mighty influence on your world. And also, it's a great stress buster, because you know this, what you think about consistently, you bring more of back into your life. So, you know, something simple you could do is keep a gratitude journal, and each day write down at least three things for which you're grateful, because when you focus on positive things, even during the most difficult times, it's a perfect remedy to reduce and alleviate stress. And if you don't, I know some people are thinking, what if I don't feel positive or grateful? You don't know what I've been going through. I say, fake it until you make it, as the saying goes, because acting as if will help you through many challenging times. And it was Shakespeare who once championed the sage advice in his immortal words in Hamlet, assume a virtue if you have it not. So fake it till you make it. I think we do have a moral obligation in this world, because life is short, to be as cheerful as possible.
Don't we drive things in the brain, endorphins, by being kind and positive?
Absolutely we do. Endorphins, as I'm sure most people know, are the body's natural painkillers, and they're released when we do exercise. When we do aerobic exercise, these are the neurotransmitters that come out into our body that make us feel good. That, you know, you've heard of the runner's high, but these neurotransmitters also are released during acts of kindness. And because endorphins help fight physical pain, if you are kinder to other people and yourself, you'll find if you have any aches and pains in your body, you'll feel a lot better. That's a lot of bang for your buck for something as simple as maybe opening the door for a stranger. But that's how powerful kindness is. Kindness benefits ourselves as well as the receiver of the kindness. And it's infectious. And the more kind you are, the more to other people, then that ripples outward. And within, you know, a matter of a few days, it can affect the whole community. Something else about kindness. Studies have found that people who volunteer experience fewer aches and pains. That's because you get the endorphins when you volunteer, and that helps assuage pain. People who are over 55 who volunteer for two organizations have half, 44%, the chance of dying early than others do. That's an impressive statistic. And endorphins also have a role in helping our overall feeling of well-being. But those are some of the things you release. When you're kind, you know, put simply, when you are kind to someone else or even doing a kindness for yourself, your brain's pleasure and reward centers light up like a Christmas tree. And a chemical reaction takes place within moments, releasing the neurotransmitters, serotonin and dopamine, the feel-good chemicals which combat anxiety and depression. And then also, when you do an act of kindness, you release a hormone called oxytocin, which is often known as the love hormone, since it increases feelings of intimacy.
So the kindness makes the individual feel better. Does it also make the recipient feel better, the person you're kind to?
Absolutely. But both. Yeah, it's a win-win. You know, so when I said just a moment ago, oxytocin, the love hormone, increases when you're kind, I'll say to men, if you want to have a wonderful evening with your partner, it always helps to do little chores around the house, show kindness that you really care about keeping the house clean, and help to keep your partner's workload so it's not overwhelming for someone else. That they say that that's one of the best ways to, you played the song Light Your Fire at the beginning.
Yeah.
That's one of the best ways to light the fire in your partner is just really help your partner so their job, especially in the house and things they have to do, isn't overwhelming.
It's also infectious. A couple months ago, Susan, I was going in the post office. There was a guy behind me that had about 5 boxes he was carrying. Obviously couldn't open his door. I opened up the post office door for him, got him in, and he just thanked me and did his thing. I found that when I was leaving, some other guy was coming in with a bunch of boxes, and the guy I helped to come in, he was done. He opened the door for that guy.
And you know what that is? That's all about paying it forward, too.
Now, he probably would have done that anyway, but the point is it's kind of infectious, isn't it?
Yes, it's infectious. It makes a difference. And you probably thought about it a few times the rest of the day. The other guy thought about how kind you were in helping him. Both of your immune systems were boosted by that simple, simple act of kindness.
Why can't everybody act kind? Because we've met people, you have, I have, and everybody listening, we've met people who just aren't kind people. Why not?
Yes, exactly. And I think it's like I said a moment ago, if you are in sleep debt, you're running on a short fuse. If you eat crappy foods, lots of foods with white sugar, white flour, additives, preservatives, it causes depression. So many foods you eat can cause depression. If you don't exercise, if you're sedentary, if you're out of shape, if you're way overweight, all of this will affect your mood, your mental health. If you don't spend time in nature, if you don't appreciate beauty, if you don't do all these things that are important for health, it makes you a very mean, aggressive person.
Interesting take. Susan, what's your favorite website that you have?
It's my name, SusanSmithJones.com. Also, I'm on Twitter at SusanSmithJones, and sign up for my free monthly healthy living newsletters.
Excellent. We're going to come back and talk more with you, Susan, about staying positive. And, of course, next hour, we open up the phone lines and give you an opportunity to chat with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones and maybe even relate a story to us on kindness and positivity. We'll be back. And welcome back with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, Ph.D., as we talk about positive thinking. There are some techniques underway, Susan, that you've developed that help people become more positive. Let's go through those.
Well, simple lifestyle practices. Number one would be sleep. You want to strive to get about 7 to 8 hours of sleep at night. Studies, so many, thousands of studies show that if you get 6 hours or fewer than that at night, you're more stressed, depressed, impatient. It increases blood pressure, makes you more irritable. Like you asked me a moment ago, why are people mean and unkind? Sleep is a great place to start. It's hard to feel compassionate when you're trying to get through the day on a short fuse. So let's get sleep. Meditation. My grandmother, when I was a teenager, taught me how to meditate. Studies show that it changes your brain waves in a positive way, makes you feel calmer, less anxious, more compassionate. Studies also show that when you're compassionate, you're happier, you're more successful at work, you earn more money. Meditation is really a way to unplug from the hustle and bustle of everyday living. It's a way to be a little bit more peaceful. It's a natural way to attain peace of mind. And guess what? It slows the aging process. So you don't need to be a Buddhist monk to know how to meditate. Find a little corner of a room. I've always used the corner of my bedroom. I focus on my breathing. And I often do, we talked about this when I was with you back, when was it, in May, on the law of attraction.
Right.
I talked about in Psalms 46:10, it's peace, be still. And if throughout the day, if you're stressed out, you don't have time, let's say you're driving, you can't close your eyes to meditate, just breathe in slowly and deeply to the word peace. Just, you can say it quietly to yourself, or if you're alone, you could just say peace out loud. Hold the breath a few seconds and exhale to be still. And I've done some studies on that with subjects to find that 5 minutes of peace, be still, 5 minutes of deep breathing will make you calmer, more relaxed, and happier. Let's briefly talk about diet. You'll remember my grandmother always said, look to nature for what to eat. Because in nature, she'd say, you don't find ice cream trees and potato chip bushes and donut vines. You want to eat your foods as close to the way nature made them as possible. And some foods you eat that have lots of white sugar, white flour, artificial everything, they make you very depressed. And sometimes, if that's your whole diet, you can become suicidal.
Oh, my God, yes, really?
Absolutely. And you want to make sure you don't eat all cooked food. Enjoy raw, uncooked food like fresh fruits and vegetables.
I love apples and strawberries and berries and stuff like that. Is that good for you?
Oh, the best. Berries are some of the best low glycemic index food that you can eat. Apples are great because they're rich in pectin. They've got soluble and insoluble fiber and help bring your cholesterol levels down. But there, as I write about in the chapter on foods that make you depressed and lift your mood in my book Uplifted, there are foods you can eat that within hours of eating them make you feel better, especially the omega-3 fatty acids. If you eat some, let's say, flax seeds, now you want to grind them, and it's nice to grind them at home. Don't buy them in the store already ground, because who knows how long they've been sitting on the shelf. You get a little coffee grinder. I don't drink coffee, but mine is, you'd almost think I did with how much I talk, but mine is a dedicated nut grinder. And once a week, I take my golden organic flax seeds, and I grind them up, put that cup of the fresh meal in a closed container in the fridge. Every day, I have 1 to 2 tablespoons somehow in my diet. 2 hours after eating flaxseed, you'll find that your mood is uplifted. Let's look at exercise. Again, I go back to, you said, why are some people so mean? Probably they're sedentary. Now, listen, I might not be saying this the right way, but mens sana in corpore sana, means, that's that Latin phrase, people that know Latin will be correcting me, is a sound mind and a sound body. And researchers are finding that there's even more to the adage than might first appear. In a great four-year study done on 200 people, there was a British researcher, Dr. Malcolm Carruthers, he found that you could ban the blues with a simple, vigorous 10-minute exercise session three times a week, because he found that 10 minutes doubles the level of the endorphins in your body, like we said a moment ago, the chemical key to happiness. So get out and exercise. And the final thing I'll say, because this is within your control, is nature. Now, here's a simple and inexpensive way to become more compassionate and kinder. View a photo or an image, like a poster, of a nature scene. You can put it in your home, in your office. Look at it a few times a day. In a few studies, it was revealed that those people who spent a few minutes viewing images of nature, and especially expansive views, like of an ocean scene or the mountains, they became more compassionate. But even better than viewing, you know what I'm going to say, is being outdoors in nature. In Uplifted, I have a whole chapter about the healing power of nature, and I write about a disease that I call NDD, nature, my grandmother taught me this, nature deficit disorder. Because if you have a choice, exercise outdoors, take a hike, go to the local park, you know, walk in your backyard, take a walk at the beach, ride a bike. Not only does too much time away from nature drain our body's energy and throw off your physical, mental, and emotional balance, I think, George, it wrinkles our soul and deprives us of a cost-free visual volume experience. And the more time we spend outdoors in nature on a regular basis, the healthier and more balanced we become. I know our grandmothers were right when they said, go out and play. I'll say go out aside to play and pray. And I know, you know, think about the times you've been out in nature, looking at beautiful nature. It could just be a local park that where they have flowers, or it could be a beautiful forest, you know, the ocean. Nature engages the mind without fatigue, and yet it enlivens it. And Charles Darwin, my buddy Henry David Thoreau, and Albert Einstein have all written eloquently about the benefits of taking in the natural world. And whether outdoors in nature or you can bring plants indoor into your home, you will reap the benefits. When you're out in nature, you're breathing in those healthy negative ions. And if you can take your shoes off, when you're out in your backyard on the natural earth, you know, on the grass, at the beach, at the local park, that's called earthing or grounding. And on my website, in the navigation bar under favorites, the first entry is on grounding and earthing. So I write all about it there, and I just posted on that page a one-hour documentary where these doctors and scientists and other people talk about literally what happens in the body physiologically when you put your bare feet on the natural earth, not on cement or asphalt, but on the natural earth. Everything from boosting immunity to reducing inflammation to elevating your mood, to all those people that we talk about who are mean and unkind, just go tell them to take off your shoes, go walk at the local park in your backyard. And by the way, if you're in New York or other places of the country that are smothered in snow, you know, you can do what I'm doing right now. Under my desk right here, I have my bare feet on an earthing mat that duplicates, you know, what the earth does. I always think it's better to be outdoors, but, you know, and I have a whole section about earthing and grounding in my Uplifted book.
Now, what about road rage? Where does that come in?
All right. So here's a great word to bring up at a party if it's boring, and it's amygdala. Amygdala. How's
that's
your amygdala?
It's part of your brain.
Yeah, you got that right. It's the emotional regulatory center in the brain, and it works with our prefrontal cortex to initiate appropriate emotional responses to our environment, to stressors, to all life situations. And if your beautiful amygdala is, like, overreactive and not healthy, if it's overprimed, it can lead to unbalanced or over-the-top emotional reactions to situations, like what you just said, like road rage. You know, I live here in Santa Monica, Brentwood, and it's amazing what you see when you drive around and on our freeways here. Or, you know, it will react not appropriately. Let's say you bump into someone accidentally and they're screaming at you. And in these situations, the rational part of the prefrontal cortex is not able to provide the balance to tell our brains that the situation is not a big deal and the offenders didn't intend to make us angry.
See, I'm convinced, Susan, the road rager is having a bad day anyway.
Oh,
and this just sets them off.
Of course. But now here's the key point. You're so right that what comes out is what's in them. But studies show that performing any kind of gratitude task, an act of kindness, reduces the amygdala's reactivity, helping to ensure healthy responses to stressors. You know, I was watching the news last night, and it just really bothered me when I saw, first of all, my heart goes out to all the people stranded at the airports, you know, in the
snow. Oh, my God, what a mess.
And then you see looters going into the shops where, you know, where all the snow's piled up.
Or stealing cars or
doing
whatever.
Yeah, exactly, or hitting you on, honestly. So we need to...
Now, see, those people aren't happy.
No, they're happy. They don't have a good upbringing. You know, it often goes back to the nuclear family that's been broken up, and, you know, that's a whole different show in itself. But, no, they're not happy, and you've got to learn a lot of this at home.
I mean, I would never even contemplate, even in my early days of being a kid, of taking anything or looting a store or stealing somebody's car.
No.
I would never even think of that.
No, of course not. You know, I got the nicest compliment many years ago because I always have known as a young child from my upbringing how important it is just to be kind to other people. You know, we don't know what their life is exactly like, and you don't have to take things personally. And I went to a high school reunion out in the valley. You know, I went to Grant High. And by the way, you and I have one of many things in common. And one is that we're born in the same year, 1980.
How about that? I wasn't born in 1980.
Yes, we were.
I wasn't. I was born in 1802.
Okay, so you are much older than I am.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
My mother, Susan, used to tell me something that struck a bell when I was a kid, and I never forgot it. And she said, just remember this little poem I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
And I said, okay, Mom, what is it? And she said, I cried because I had no shoes.
Yes.
But then I saw somebody without any feet.
Yes.
And it just made sense about everything.
Exactly. Well, I went to my high school reunion a few years ago, and many different people came up to me because you were supposed to tell people what you remembered most about them back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people said, I always remember you were so kind to everyone. And that gave me such joy because that's the way I really like to live. And again, it all goes back to your thoughts, your mind is a garden, and your thoughts are the seeds. You can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. We want to stop growing weeds in our life, and And it's not just kindness for other people. Oh, and by the way, during the break, I have two dumbbells here, and I'm not talking about people in my home. But, you know, I was doing my shoulder routine, and I was thinking about what you said and about how you opened the door, because whenever people talk to me, this is my brain, I visualize what they say. So I saw you going in the post office, helping the guy at the door,
mm-hmm.
and it made me think that, you know, you often see things like open the door for others, say hello to a stranger, hug a loved one, on lists for acts of kindness. But I think that these behaviors and acts should be considered common courtesy and generally nice behavior rather than something extraordinary.
So true. Susan, we're going to take a break at the top of the hour, but we're going to come back and take phone calls with you next. This hour, we'll take your calls with Susan Smith-Wilson-Jones. And also, when you make your call, ask her a question, of course, but share a story of kindness with us or how somebody did something for you or you to them. We are back with Susan Smith-Jones. We'll take your calls this hour. Susan, what about depression? How big a factor is that in the ways people can think positively or not?
Yes, exactly. Well, over the past 15 years, there have been lots of studies about the connection between kindness, altruism, and volunteering, and less depression. You know, studies show, like I mentioned this earlier, that when you volunteer, as long as you don't go overboard and then overburden yourself by giving too much or too often, that will increase your kindness. And it's interesting. I've got 10 thoughts in my mind right now, but those of us who might be struggling in life right now are the best candidates for kindness. If you're feeling depression or sadness with what's going on in your life, because studies show that people fighting disease, chronic pain, have emotional trauma, those that show some type of kindness to someone else cope better and combat negative emotions better. There was a recent study done at Brown University at Providence, Rhode Island, and found that alcoholics who help other alcoholics have a 40% sober rate the next year compared to 22% among alcoholics who didn't help others.
That's amazing.
I know it is. I know.
I love that. Let's take some calls. Let's go, first of all, international line. David is in England. Welcome to the program. Hi, David.
Hello, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, David.
I take Susan's Healthy Living newsletter, and I've actually bought her two books, Uplifted and Why to High-Level Wellness, having heard the broadcast in May. But the question I've got, really, is that here in England, there's a great push for people to take the vaccines and the boosters, very little opposition. But I did my research early, and they decided not to take any of the shots. So I've never taken any of the COVID vaccines, and I've never had COVID either. So my question, really, is could I ask Susan to amplify upon the simple things that she would suggest, which can help my immunity, to keep my immunity in tip-top shape, so that I can continue to stay COVID-free. Any nutritional supplements which she would emphasize, and any simple suggestions to keep my mood elevated and calm in the midst of stress all around me from people who are COVID. I'd really welcome your response to those points, Susan and George. Thank you.
Okay, well done, David.
I wonder what he's grateful for, too. Probably that he didn't get the shots, you know. And I think I remember David called us last time. Remember, everyone, ignorance has consequences. And David, I'm going to give you a heads up, and everyone, on Friday, I've already prepared a tweet of a TV show I just did on my three surefire secret steps to boosting immunity and vitality, and that will be in Friday's tweet. So make sure you sign up on my, Twitter handle, so you get that Friday. Saturday, my newsletter goes out for January. There's a whole section on immunity, but I will address it very quickly. David, make sure that you're taking a probiotic that has bifidobacteria in it. Some of them don't. And bifidobacteria are one of the major genera of bacteria that make up the gastrointestinal tract, and they reduce with age. Studies show that people with ample amounts of bifidobacteria in their beautiful gastrointestinal tract do not get COVID. So make sure that that's in a probiotic supplement you take. Of course, vitamin D. 70% of the people in hospitals with COVID are very deficient in this vitamin. I would say, David, I think he said he got Wired for High Level Wellness and my other, that they're companion books. They go together. I didn't want to give people a 600-page book. So they're two books with a complete program I've taught for decades. I talk in there in both books about meditation and that peace be still visual, you know, to use when you breathe in and out. We talked about that. And David, visualize your body. There's so much power in your thoughts and visualizing. And here's why, because your mind doesn't know, your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between reality and fantasy. So visualize your body as healthy, disease-free, calm, relaxed, and feeling great. Make sure you do your earthing. That will help keep your immune system boosted. Remember, David, go to my website under favorites. The first entry is on earthing. Look at that documentary. Make sure you get enough sleep. If you have any extra weight, I'm speaking to everyone, get the extra weight off, because it suppresses your immune system.
I remember that zinc, Susan.
And zinc, of course, and vitamin C and quercetin, and visual pollution. There are not a lot of things in life over which we have control. Three main things: what we eat, how we move, our exercise, what we think. But we also have control over our living spaces. And this is a good time of year, isn't it, George, to declutter your home and office. Clutter around you in your living spaces, according to all the studies, causes depression and stress. Find a little time each day just for silence, just a few minutes of quiet. Silence isn't the absence of sound. It's the absence of noise. Silence includes sounds from the natural world. Noise, well, you know what that is. That's TV, traffic, airplanes, voices. Breathing deeply. Maybe you sit in the backyard or somewhere where you breathe deeply, do the peace, be still, visualize a goal in your life is already achieved, and assume the feeling of that wish fulfilled. Or maybe you do this with your feet on an earthing mat because it's too cold outside. But find that peace in your own company, because it will help you strengthen your faith and your self-confidence. And, of course, never forget that there is tremendous power in prayer each and every day. Live thankfully and prayerfully, because it will change the whole vibrational rate in the 70 trillion cells of your body, and it makes you a magnet for miracles and blessings, because you're always attracting to yourself the equivalency of what you think, feel, and believe. And you're in charge of your life. You know, this is the perfect week of the year to get ready for a fresh start, a new beginning. Don't put things off. Let's get everything in order so that you arrive on the first of the month, the first of the year, feeling great and being as positive as you can.
Next up is Lisa in New York. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Hi, George.
Hi there.
Susan.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I wanted to tell you about the most incredible man that I met this year. Actually,
George Norrie.
We never. No, I'm sorry.
George Norrie.
good try, Susan.
Yeah, one of them. We never met in person, actually. We wrote to each other every day for hours and hours for about 3 months, and we talked on the phone every night for 2 months. And he had so many health problems, but he never complained. I mean, he had that back disease that Kennedy had, and he was always in tremendous pain.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just so kind, and he would tell me how he felt, but he wouldn't complain about it. And he just had such a good attitude. And he would say that, you know, I was a blessing to him, you know, which was shocking to me, you know, because he was the one that was, well, I mean, I was positive too, but, and then he found out that he had a tremendous tumor in his kidney that went into the abdominal aorta and almost all the way up to the heart. And still, he just showed such bravery and never ever said anything unkind to me. He just was the kindest person. Unfortunately, he didn't survive the surgery.
Yeah, make it.
And I lost him. But, you know, I just wanted to say that, you know, you were talking about health and, you know, when people aren't, you know, are feeling badly and how that can affect you. But if you show kindness, it helps you to feel better.
Had an impact on your life, didn't he?
Yes. Tremendous. And you'll never forget him, Lisa.
No. I think he was my soulmate. We fell in love with each other.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate that. It's magical, Susan. It's magical. Ron in Michigan, take it away, Ron. Go ahead.
Hello, George and Susan.
Hi, Ron.
Hello, Susan. You know, you said keep away from the weeds. Marijuana is a weed. And if we ate more of it, smoked more of it, fed it to our cows, because it doesn't take water, it doesn't take fertilizer. We can use it for car parts. We did that in the early car. So you got to be careful when we label weeds dangerous, in my opinion. Now, as far as good people, there are some people who are evil, and they are manipulative, and they prey on good, kind, loving people who they can move into a family and then just take over and destroy the family while they're in there. And still, there are just some people who kindness, when you give it to them, they take it. And they'll use it against you.
Sure,
you
know, that happens.
Like the slogan that this guy likes to use, he'll give you the shirt off his back. That's after you or somebody else bought that shirt for him, use that shirt up, and then he's going to give it to you because he knows somebody else is going to give him a better shirt. Okay,
now,
you know. And George, your mother left you with a poem. You know, this poem has always been with me. It's from the book "The Tigers Are Burning." We're unlike meat. Goodwill does no good. Hatred holds sway. God wants no love here. That was scrawled on a burning tank during the Battle of Kursk during World War II.
Wow.
And, you know, there is so much love in this world, and so many people have touched me and loved me, my mother, you know, especially my father. And, you know, as far as getting sleep, you know, what do you got your show on for, you know?
We don't. That's the one thing we don't get, Sue, is much sleep.
Yeah, no, that's right. And, Ron, I'd prefer just to get high on life. I don't care what anybody else does with pot or smoking, but I really get high on life, just life itself, the natural life.
And that's doable, isn't it?
Yeah, and I say Pythagoras, 2,400 years ago, one of your friends, George, said, choose what is best. Habit will soon render it agreeable and easy. And before the show is up today, let's make sure we spend a couple minutes on talking about how miraculous your human body is and what it does in one day, in case you need something for which to be grateful.
We'll do that right toward the end of the show. East of the Rockies, Sherry's with us in Indiana. Hello, Sherry. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you both doing?
Okay,
hi, Sherry.
This is a very depressed woman. I have lost everybody in my family except one sister. And
oh, my.
One in the immediate family. And I just lost my husband. Well, I didn't just lose him, but it felt like he just, I lost him yesterday. I don't know what to do. He sits on my dresser. I'm going to get us down into Sarasota, Florida, into a military cemetery. And I just paid on my own urn, but I got to pay the rest of that off. It's just, it's getting to be too much.
Oh, Sherry, you have a lot of good memories with your husband, right?
Yeah, I'm sure she does. Go ahead, Suze.
Yeah. So I was wondering if Sherry could say, share one positive thing about the joy that her husband gave her.
What is that, Sherry? She's a little too emotional, yeah. Susan, right now.
Yeah, well, you know what, Sherry? You've got millions of people putting you in their prayers right now, helping to lift you up. And
this is the sad part of living,
yes,
because you have to have people who die. I've lost a number of friends, a lot of them in December, January, in years gone past.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not easy.
No, it's not easy. I know it's not.
You know, when my father died about 11 years ago, mm-hmm. I did this program that night. He had died sometime in the afternoon. He was 88 years old. It was a good run. But he still passed on, and I needed to do the show, or else I think I would have been an emotional basket case.
That's right. And Sherry can surround herself with any friends she has that are positive, and listening to your show is a good thing to look forward to each day, and making her life the best it can be, and remember and keep those beautiful memories. The beautiful, call them to mind, that you've had with your husband and other family members.
And Sherry, you're alive to keep their memories going.
Yes.
That's the important thing.
Yes.
Let's go to Cornelius in Louisiana before the break. Go ahead, Cornelius.
Hi, Cornelius.
Hey, George and Susan. Look, Sherry, we're all going to be praying for you. There are millions of coast-to-coast listeners. You don't know how much prayer has helped me make it. My dad's been gone 2 years. He was a military man, too. So we're going to be with you, Miss Sherry, and Miss Lisa, too.
Yes.
Prayer is a powerful thing, Susan. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yes.
Today is the 29th, so I will read the Proverbs 29, the Lord's Prayer, and Psalm 91, which is a prayer of protection. So turn to the Bible, people, for a lot of that stuff. George, I was telling Jeremy, and boy, that's a great call screener you got for Tommy being on vacation.
Oh, he's
I love
great.
Jeremy.
Jeremiah. And,
Jeremiah. I keep saying Jeremy, but he says okay. Hey, that shows you how good he is. So I call him Jeremy. So, but anyway, I was telling him, Susan, and George knows this, Tommy was on, and he was a call screener. And, boy, I was sick. And my sugar was over 1,000. Of course, I didn't know that then, Susan. But I was just real sick. And the doctor said if I hadn't gone in when I did, I would have probably been dead in this house. Well, George and Tommy told me, look, Mr. White, you're going to the hospital, or else we're going to come over there and take you to the hospital.
Oh, wow.
And if I hadn't called the ambulance, when I did, baby, I would have been a dead duck.
And we know where you live, Corny.
Yeah, they know where, because I met them at an Oswald conference down here in New Orleans, but I live about 200 or 300 miles away from New Orleans. One more thing I want to bring up, George.
20 seconds. Go ahead.
The reason why we have these problems, we had prayer in school, the pledge, the Negro National Anthem, and the National Anthem. Once the Supreme Court took all of that stuff out, the devil stepped right in. So that's why we have all these problems. God bless Coast to Coast, and God bless you all. Thank you.
Stay healthy. Back with Final Calls with Susan Smith-Jones on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, on our next Coast to Coast program, Robert Young Pelton joins me to talk about world events, and then our investigative reporter Cheryl Jones joins us with a delightful holiday interview with little Zuzu from It's a Wonderful Life, who's not little anymore. She's Carolyn Grimes, but I'm looking forward to that. And then we'll have open lines with Cheryl at the end of the program, and a special treat, Mark Zakri on the Twilight Zone. All that on our that's on our Friday Coast to Coast show, but we'll have open lines with Cheryl tomorrow night, too. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Susan Smith-Jones with us as we talk about staying positive. Susan, you're doing a wonderful job, by the way.
Well, thank you. And, George, am I the only one who thinks this? You know, in that bumper you just played where it goes da-da, da-da, you know what I think of?
What do you think of?
Jaws.
Really?
You know the movie Jaws.
Oh, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, that's what it always makes me think of. And I was thinking about Sherry and Cornelius. Cornelius will love this. And thank you. I'm grateful for you, George. Cornelius will love this. Meister Eckhart, way back in, he was born in the 1200s and died in like around 1330. He was a theologian and a philosopher. And he said, if the only prayer you ever say is, thank you, God, that will be enough. I love that. And Sherry, I want to say to you that oftentimes the hard things in life open the doors to something beautiful. And you have, Sherry, and we all have guardian angels around us for our life. Our entire lives are with us. And they like us to ask them to please help us. Angels, would you help me? Would you guide me? Would you lift my mood? And I want Sherry to start talking to her guardian angels that will help lift her up. And also, George, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to say first that for Sherry and everyone, the first 40 minutes of the day sets the tone for the whole day. So how do you want your day to be? I think healthy, joyful, calm, minimal stress, feeling fantastic. And I told you back in May when we were together that one of the things I do almost every morning is I get up, I go into the bathroom, and I look in the mirror. That makes me laugh right there. But then I sing the chorus of one of my favorite musicals, and you sang it with me in May. Do you remember what it was?
I really don't. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. Gordon McRae.
Oh, If I Loved You.
No, I love that. Yeah, no, I didn't sing that to myself. I sang, oh, what a beautiful morning, oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way. And all the young people out there who have never heard of the musical Oklahoma, it's a great one to watch, you know, watch it somewhere. But I think all of us should sing this song, and you and I can start it, George.
That is a classic.
Oh, what? I don't want people to hang up, though. I mean, I don't want people to turn the radios off.
My ratings are plummeting, Susan.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Sing with me.
Morning. No, I'm going to come in. I'll come in.
Oh, what a beautiful day.
Oh, what a beautiful morning.
Everything's going my way. Now, if you sing that every morning, you're bound to have a great day. You know, you're bound to have a great day. And remember, pray throughout the day and find things to be grateful for. And also, you've also got personal doctors with you all the time. You've got the sunlight. You've got rest and sleep. These are your doctors, diet, exercise, friends, positive thinking.
And they have us.
And, yes, absolutely.
Let's go to the final phone calls. They're lining up for you. West of the Rockies, Michelle's with us in San Diego. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, good evening, George. Thank you for taking my call. And
thank you.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, and, George, I just want to thank you for your service again and also tell you that I agree with the woman who called last night and told you that you're a good man and that you're very easy on the eyes, too.
Yes.
A face for radio, right?
Yes. And, Susan, I'm so happy to hear you again tonight. I'm a huge fan of yours.
Oh, thank you.
And I talk to everybody who wants to listen to me every time they ask me, you know, how do you get this beautiful skin? you know, I swear I look at least 15 years younger. Of course, I have your books. I love your newsletter. Even my doctor is kind of, you know, curious as to how I can be that healthy and look that young. I gave him your website.
Very good. Very good. And, you know, in my two latest books, if you follow my program in 30 days, you'll look and feel 10 years younger.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just, you know, I was thinking, what am I grateful about? I'm so grateful about this show tonight, which is absolutely wonderful. And just, you know, I've been following you, and it's changed my life. I am happier. I definitely have more energy, and I keep my weight, you know, at the perfect way that I want to be. I'm happy.
Excellent. Michelle, thank you for being part of the program. Have a great new year. We've got a great New Year's Eve program with Connie Willis on Saturday. I'll be on New Year's Day on Sunday. And then Monday, which is still the holiday, we'll be on live for you that night, too. Let's go first-time caller George in Lady Lake, Florida. Welcome to the show. Hey, George.
How you doing?
Hi, George.
Great.
Hey, I wanted to tell you about Lady Lake is also the Villages. I just moved here like 6 months, and it's like kindness through the roof here. I was in a bad situation in Pennsylvania. I was like a landlord. People were stealing. They were, you know, attacking me, and I had to move. I talked to my family. You said, you got to come here, right? I come here, right? Everybody is so kind, right?
That's great.
I have a habit of losing things. People, you know, they return my stuff, you know, like. And the kindness wears off, and you kind of start doing it yourself. Like I'm by myself. Like you say hi to the neighbors. Like I wave to my neighbors every day. I say hi. Like I don't, if they pass, I open doors for people. I'm
good for you, George.
In the restaurant, it's just unbelievable, and it's just so contagious that it just changes your life.
How did you pick that spot to move to, George?
Because my sister suggested that my cousin lives here. My buddy lives here. He says, you got to come here because there's so much to do and people are so friendly here. It's like, oh, my God. It's like every day there's something to do. Like, and it costs a lot of money for a house here, but if you have the money, it's worth it. Just
good for you.
Tons of friends here.
All right. You have a great new year, George. That's good.
Thank you, George.
He finds a positive thing in the area that he moves to. And
yes, and like you were saying earlier, it's contagious. Everyone around where he lives are happier and uplifted. And really, it's all about self-care, self-kindness. The one relationship we always need to work on is the one with ourselves. And when we change our attitude about ourselves from negative to positive, everything else in life changes for the better. Our highest calling in life is to precisely take loving care of ourselves. When we're healthy, fit, have energy, like Michelle was just saying, she looks younger, she feels good, you exude this beautiful inner glow that is captivating. People can see it and feel it. And then you'll inspire them, and they'll start saying, what are you doing? You look so good. And same with kindness. And you know, it's all within our power. I love Gandhi. Gandhi once said that the pure loving kindness of one gentle soul could nullify the hatred of millions.
We need more Gandhis, that's for sure. Yeah. It's Jason in Indianapolis. Hey, Jace, go ahead.
Hi. Sounds like Indiana's pretty well represented tonight.
It is, absolutely.
Hi, Jason.
Hi. Hi, Susan. This is a multi-decade listener here, first-time caller, and
well, thank you.
Wow,
been enjoying the show since back in the Artville days, but just wanted to take a second and tell the folks that have lost very important people that yes, there are lots of people right now praying for you, myself included. Susan, your advice on probiotics and has been great. Been battling C. diff, and probiotics are definitely the thing you have to. Have to go with to recover from that. Your points on shutting out noise has been a lifesaver for me for quite a long time. You know, the TV, my TV's only on about once a week for a few hours, you know, to watch some MeTV on Saturday night, like that. So I've shut that out most of the time. Love the phrase visual Valium.
yeah.
What I wanted to try to tell people, there's a popular meme that seems to be, I don't know if you want to call it a meme, a comeback, a response. People are starting to, I think, become aware of something that you said earlier. And when you start seeing these things on Twitter where somebody has spent way too much time in their own little echo chambers, watching CNN or whatever, spinning off in their own little alternate realities and demanding that everybody else does too.
Yeah.
The kind of people Cornelius talked about that, you know, want to take pledge, you know, take the pledge and prayer out of schools, all that kind of stuff. There's this beautiful response I've been seeing, and basically it's just go outside and touch grass. So it's a great reminder. We all just need to ground ourselves literally in reality and
You're talking about real grass that grows up in the backyard.
Yep.
You're not talking about who was it? It was Ron that was talking about cannabis and weed.
No, this is the grass your front lawn.
Yes, exactly. And it's nature and it's beauty, and studies show that when you are out appreciating beauty, it could be you've got green grass or flowers coming up or mountains or ocean or any beauty. You go to a museum, it literally makes your whole body vibrate on a higher level, and that makes you closer to God, absolutely closer to God.
Let's squeeze Todd in, Lansing, Michigan. Hi, Todd. Go ahead, sir.
Hi,
hey,
Todd.
How you doing? Hang a second. I got to put on... take off my speakerphone.
Okay. We'll let you do that, and then we've got a couple minutes. Todd, go ahead.
Okay. She was talking about how people open doors for people and stuff like that and smile at people and whatever, everything else like that.
Yes.
I find that very comforting.
Yes.
And also, I was taught a long time ago in school that it's actually a social contract that's unwritten.
Well, whoever taught you that was teaching you the right way, because this is something that you can teach, but you also have to be born with it, don't you, Susan?
Yes, yes, I think you do. And you were saying being kind to others, you know, opening doors, doing nice things, you know, and those are common courtesies. But let's think outside the box here. Think about things that might take a little thought, like shovel snow for an elderly neighbor, buy coffee for the car behind you in the drive-through line. I donate a lot of blood because I'm O negative. That's the universal donor. Every 3 months to 4 months, I donate. You can give out hats and gloves to people. You know, maybe you take flowers to the nursing home. You find things and then pay it forward. Because you'll find as you do that, just like you, George, at the post office in the door, he opened the door for someone. And then that person, and on and on and on. Like Gandhi said, we can change the world. Each of us can change the world. And a great place to start is with your body. Do I have 2 minutes to talk about how miraculous your body is?
You have 1 minute.
I have 1 minute. You know, it will leave you in wonderment. But all of this is, by the way, on my tweets, in my newsletter, in my two latest books. Your heart beats, pumps 2,000 gallons a day. That's more than 100,000 times a day. Your heart pumps all that blood. Let's talk about growth. You know, I don't know if you know this, but you grow 8 millimeters every night while sleeping before shrinking back down again the next day. And this saves you from some pretty hefty clothing bills and ensures you don't have to raise the door frames every 2 years. Your kidneys have a million tiny filters that work together to filter an average of 2.2 pints of blood. Your brain never stops working. You think about...
it's got to keep going forever and ever and ever, Susan. Susan's website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Jeremiah Harris, and thank you, Jeremiah, for filling in for Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.